Hello everyone. Wherever and whenever this video or audio, as the case may find you, sincerely I pray that you are doing well. But even more important, I pray that you are experiencing the God of peace and the peace of God. A few things before we really get going. First, friends, I apologize. If you track with my messages every week, I apologize for the big delay I had in posting last Sunday's video. I was out of town leading up to that Sunday. Events just got away from me, had a little bit of technology issues. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday before I finally got it up. But guys, if you missed the message because of that, I encourage you to go back and listen to it or watch it. The audio and video aren't the best. It's actually a live recording of our Beaver Creek service. And the mic I thought I've had dialed in wasn't quite dialed in, but it's all there. And it's important because, guys, we covered an essential part of the overall story of Acts, the narrative of the Philippian jailer. And we really explored how that story is deeply relevant for our lives today. Now, this Sunday, September 26th, I'm going to be out of town, actually leaving tomorrow morning. It's Thursday when I'm recording this right now. I'm gone all weekend. And so my good friend, Dr. Randy Simmons, is going to be preaching, bringing the word at both our Edwards and our Beaver Creek services. And you can catch that through our Facebook live stream, the live stream of our Edwards service at 11 o'clock Sunday, Mountain Time. Okay, the link for that is at the top of this page if you're watching this video through the website, through our church website, trinityville.com. In any case, so it's in place of my weekly message, I want to share with you right now a devotional email that I emailed out just earlier today through our church, the First Tracks email that I send out almost every week. And friends, if you don't receive that and would like to receive those weekly devotions that I do, just shoot an email to our church administrator, Donna. Her email address is trinity@trinityvale.com, and I have a link for that, that information just in the notes below the video here. Friends, likewise, all of the scripture that I'm about to walk us through with very little comment is accessible through one link also in the notes below. All the references are there. You can also look it up, shock and awe, in your own Bible. Okay, so you ready to do it? Friends, I want you to get your Bible. Maybe pause, look at these as we go along, and let's jump in. Actually, first, today, right now, is Thursday evening, September 23rd, 2021. I am Pastor Ethan. This is Trinity Online. And once again, thank you for joining with us. In 2003, the very well-known Christian band Casting Crowns released what was probably their biggest album, at least to date, and the title of the album and the key song on the album was The Voice of Truth. The song is powerful, musically, and even more lyrically. If you're not familiar with it, I have a link to the YouTube video of it right below in the notes. Go check it out. It's a great song. And I've slightly paraphrased the words to the first verse here, but then I have the chorus as well. And this is what it says. Again, a little bit of my paraphrase on the verse. But the waves are calling out my name, and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the things that keep me living in fear. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll always be afraid. You'll be afraid. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is all for my glory. And of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Friends, those are powerful words. At least they are powerful if we actually make the choice of faith to do that. You know, over the past 18 months, give or take, since the onset of COVID and the presidential election, across all that time, and again, actually very recently, I've spoken, as I'm sure you guys have as well, I've spoken with many people struggling with fear and frustration about the dynamics at play in our world. Of course, there are indeed a host of critical issues facing America and our world, not to mention the troubling nature of some of the events that are unfolding day by day right now. Because in light of that, or I guess in addition to that, but in light of it, friends, it's also extremely important for us to remember the profound unreliability of social media. And when I say social media, I'm also including that email that a friend sent you that you must forward to as many people as possible. Guys, we've got to realize the profound unreliability of social media as a source of anything remotely resembling truth. And often the official media isn't much better. But friends, just more to the point here, if you find yourself, if you are a person, you find yourself living in fear over what you hear in the news, especially, specifically social media derived news, it is highly likely that your information is inaccurate. There's a lot of personalities out there right now who just have a phone and a YouTube account. That's all it takes to predict, and they're making a lot of hay by predicting the imminent collapse of everything that we see as good and holy. And friends, far too many of you, far too many people, unquestioningly accept these prophets of doom and what they say. You know, it's very easy, as I say this with all love and humility, it's very easy for anyone to be overwhelmed by all of those voices crying out to you, especially if you have a steady intake of that fear. Because let me flip things just here for a second. Let's say that today, in fact, is our version, our generation's version of June the 27th, 1914. Do you know that date? It's the day before, right? The day before 19-year-old Gavrilo Princip, a member of a Serbian nationalist group that was known then as the Black Hand, shot and killed, assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. That happened on the 28th. That happened on June the 28th. And within months, Europe was being consumed by the inferno that we now know that's World War I. So let's say that today is our June 27th, and tomorrow the world as we know it is going to explode. By the way, guys, make sure you get this. I am not in that camp. I am not a short-term pessimist. Yet there's a lot of stuff going on now that deeply troubles me, just as it does you. But I am not in the camp of the people that are out there online saying that we are about to see chaos like mankind has never seen. I think that is irresponsible of the people that are out there peddling that. Real issues? Yes. Crawl under the bed and cower in fear? Absolutely not, right? Even just looking at the events of our day. So I'm not in that camp, but let's just say that all of the internet's worst fears are about to come true. That's going to happen. If that was the case, as people who profess that our hope is in the Lord, what are we to do? Well, actually, you could talk about many things. But friends, if Scripture makes anything clear on that front, it is this: we are not to live in fear. We are not to live in fear. So my friend, if this is your struggle, if you are struggling with fear, great pessimism, maybe even despair, right? This is obsessing your life and consuming you. My friends, with love and humility, I encourage you to seek God's presence and hope through His Word. Now, make no mistake, we absolutely need to be discerning and wise about what we allow to have a place of influence in our hearts and our minds. But most importantly, we must choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I'm going to walk us through some scriptures from both the Old and New Testaments. Now, in the case of the Old Testament, these scriptures are promises of God, mostly to Israel, but they contain principles of God's nature and presence that are still very relevant to us, completely relevant to us today. In the Psalms, these are confessions that people make, in some cases King David and other people, but these are confessions that people make, that the people of Israel, when they would recite and sing these Psalms, They're confessions of God's provision in the midst of great adversity. And in the case of the New Testament scriptures that we're about to look at, my friends, these are promises of God directly to us as followers of Christ. And as is always the case, when we're looking at individual scriptures like this, each of these verses has surrounding context that if you go and look at that, will shed even greater light on God's command for us not to live in fear. So as I go through this, maybe you pause as we look at each of these scriptures or just listen to them now and then go click on that link, look them up in your Bible, take time to consider these words, but even more importantly, the heart of God who is behind them. My friends, remember, God is not surprised in the least about anything that may be holding you in fear. He is sovereign and he is good, which by default should make us optimists. Okay, let's go through these. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 through 11. Some of these you're going to remember and know well. Isaiah 41, 9 through 11. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Friends, God says to us, in the midst, when Isaiah wrote, Israel was teetering on the brink of catastrophe. And to the children of God in that time, through his prophet, God said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Psalms 3, verses 5 and 6. "I lie down and sleep, and I wake again because the Lord sustains me." What a fundamental statement of faith. "I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side." Friends, for King David, I believe that's a Davidic psalm. I didn't verify that. But definitely for the people of Israel, again, in that generation that would read and recite these and pray these psalms, that was not a hypothetical thing. They were surrounded regularly by 10,000s assailing them on every side. And yet they would say, they would confess in the midst of their own fear and despair at times, "I could lie down and I could sleep because it is the Lord that sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side." Going on in the psalm, Psalms 27 verse 3, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Another psalm, Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3. This is a very famous one. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountain falls into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. For the Lord, he is our strength. He is our God." Isaiah 8, back in Isaiah, Isaiah 8, verse 11 through 13. Again, the prophet says, "This is what the Lord says to me, with his strong hand upon me." Let me pause. Guys, I actually was not, I had forgotten what I'm about to read, this statement of scripture. And this, I'm taking this out of context. So you need to go and look at it to really get at it in the full prophetic context of Isaiah. Okay, so I always want to make that clear. But just listen to these words because, boy, do these speak to us today, to so many people today. "This is what the Lord says to me," Isaiah says, "with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. For the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy." Wow, powerful words. Another Isaiah, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. Another famous, beautiful passage. The prophet says, "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Going on. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. The prophet Jeremiah says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Right? Our confidence is not in horses and chariots. Our confidence is not in our government, whoever may be in charge of that government. My friends, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. For they will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Wow. Well, we could spend time taking that one apart, but let's just keep going. Into the New Testament now. Matthew 14, 27. And friends, this is actually the text that is the inspiration for Casting Crowns song, The Voice of Truth. Jesus is out. The disciples are out on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. The giant storm comes up. And Jesus, they see Jesus coming to them. They're terrified. Verse 27, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.'" Oh, my friends. I think of my own life. Oh, do I listen to the voice of truth, the voice of Christ, when he says, "Ethan, take courage, for it is I. Do not be afraid." Powerful. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. Jesus, again speaking, says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are not alone. God is with you." John 14, verses 26 and 27. Jesus, again speaking here in the upper room on the night that he was to be arrested. And he said to the disciples, he said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Now I do not give as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Oh, my friends, may we hear and listen to that. Hebrews 13, 6. Just a couple more. Hebrews 13, 6. "So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" Wow. 1 Peter 3, 14 and 15. This is really important context around this, but this verse says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. So do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." And finally, 1 Peter 5, 7, where we read, "The Lord says to us right now, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Cast all of your anxiety upon him because he cares for you." Oh, my friends, if you are struggling with fear because of this world around us, you know, a few practical things. Consider disconnecting yourself from the news, and from especially the news that you may be getting through social media. You know, maybe not 100%. Well, my recommendation would be 100%, at least for a while. Be careful about what you grant as a place. Be careful to what you grant a place of influence in your heart and your mind. You know, perhaps consider replacing that time with finding a way to directly serve in your church, in your community. Find a way to make someone's life better who is right there. You can see, that you can touch, that you can speak to, that you can serve, and do it in the name and in the love of Christ. Friends, that is powerful medicine against fear and despair. But most of all, church, my friends, may we choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Friends, I love you very much. I'll be back with you Sunday, October the 3rd, as we're going to be heading back out on the road with Paul, wrapping up chapter 16 of Acts and the events of Philippi. So we'll see you then. And until then, have a great week.